Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro. He's out of town this week at the Brook Petro Invitational National Braille Challenge. So he'll be back on Monday, hopefully with another trophy out there getting it done. So thank you so much to Curtis E. Bolton and Adam Gervetta for helping us out as we work along here. Thanks to everyone who's been on the show so far today. Jeff Passan, early in the show, we played Chumps with Shane Summers and Pete Enoch. Pete Enoch won again, like always.
Yep.
Blair Kirkhoff just spent an interesting hour with us talking about a lot of different things that are happening in college sports and the World Cup and all that. And we will hear from Matt Norlander from CBS Sports here in about 15 minutes or so, because the NBA draft is coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. You can hear it all right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And it's done already? Who's the first pick done?
Is this what we need to know? I wouldn't say it's done,
but it's close.
But it's things are firming up. And you know, we've always talked about, usually it's the NFL draft we have this discussion about, because that's the draft that people in this town care the most about. The notion over the years, well, so-and-so is climbing up the draft boards, or so-and-so is falling down the draft boards, and that there's somehow some inertia there. Well, it's going to continue. Oh, he's sliding. The idea we've always hatched, or we've always believed in, adhered to, is that no one slides down the draft boards after the games or after the combine. The accuracy of the reports about where teams are going based on what sources are hearing becomes more and more accurate.
Right.
That's when players move. So if a guy you see, well, he was thought to be a top five pick when the, you know, and now people are saying he might go 20. He was always going to go 20. And the people who thought he was going to go 5 were inaccurate.
Yes.
So when, as more information comes out, things start to firm up. But it is looking more and more like it's going to be Jabari Smith is the number one pick with Chet Holmgren.
Who should have lost at Mizzou this year.
Yes.
But he didn't.
With Chet Holmgren 3 and Paolo Banchero, Holmgren 2 and Paolo Banchero of Duke.
What do you think
3.
Chet Holmgren actually weighs? They say he's like 7'190". Is that what they say?
Yep, that's what he's listed
at. When you look at him, what do you think he weighs?
About that.
About 120?
I mean, I can't imagine his weight is... Yeah, that's the one thing, though. If he's listed at 195, you assume he weighs a little bit less.
So let's be honest here. When's the last time you weighed 190 pounds? Because I almost did it a few months ago, but I didn't. So I think for me, the last time I weighed 190 pounds was in high school.
I'd have been
now
probably.
maybe at one point I got sick one time, maybe about 20 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. I was probably 12.
12?
12 or 13.
Adam, when's the last time you weighed 190?
Maybe a little more than that.
Due to a bit of an illness.
Illness?
I was 25. Not when I was dying. Sometime in high school.
Sometime in high school?
Yeah.
But without being on death's door.
Correct.
It had to be
high school. High school.
Yeah. We don't recommend that's the way to get down in weight.
It's not
the best way.
No, the route I took is not the route that everyone should take, or really anyone.
Anyone. No, you shouldn't do that. He is an amazingly, because, you know, remember when Kevin Durant came out of college, similar body types, right?
They're, but well, Kevin Holmgren's Durant a little bit taller. Is Zion Williamson next
compared to that. Now, if you go back and look at freshman year,
he's
Kevin
pretty
Durant,
thin.
Pretty thin, but he wasn't like 190. This guy looks like sick, like you got to eat. And I know he eats. They got to be putting, like, they're trying to put weight on
him. How
do
his legs not break? You know, he's the last.
Well, his legs don't break because he's not holding
no
up
way.
Anything.
Right, but you know, turning and twisting. Whenever I watch Manute Bol play, I always thought, how does he not break something every time he moves? I'd say probably a little bit under 195.
But we'll have the draft coming up here tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810. We're all 100% solid that Abaji's going to be a lottery pick, right?
No.
Not 100%? Were you 90%?
I think he's right on that edge.
And where are you now percentage-wise with Brown? You think he's going to be in the end of the first round? You think
60,
he's
going to
be a second round?
60-40 first-round pick.
60-40 first-round. First round's a big deal. First 2 years of your contract are guaranteed.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
But you know, he is moving up the draft.
Is he moving
boards.
Up? He's not sliding down. He's moving up?
Sliding down. So, but most of the mock drafts I've seen have Abaji 13-14, right at the edge of that. And I've been hearing more and more about the prospects of Christian Brown maybe being in the late
20s. What I think is amazing now about the NBA draft, because it's so international and some guys come from wherever, and college basketball has been kind of weird the last couple of years, mm-hmm. right? Obviously with the COVID years and all those things going down. And this year, I think so many people during college basketball season, for a big portion of it around here, are just so locked in on the Chiefs. And you're not watching anything other than Kansas games or like Missouri games, maybe, or K-State games or something like that. So you're just not watching just a rando college basketball game. When I look down this list of guys, I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen some of them play, and they play at like real schools. Like, I don't, you, if you'd have told me to tell me who Benedict Mathurin was.
Mathurin? He was, yeah. He was leading scorer on a one seed.
Yeah, I don't think I ever watched him play a college basketball game.
I didn't know who I hadn't seen him play until the tournament started. But,
right.
You know, once you start following, I was hoping for Arizona to come out of that bracket.
I'm like, I don't know who that is. And, like, Shaedon Sharpe went to Kentucky but never played, right? Is he the guy who didn't ever play because mm-hmm. of whatever reason? He's like a lottery pick guy. I never seen that guy play.
So he's rising up the boards.
Is he rising up the boards? And, of course, then you've got these guys who are, like, from France. You've never seen a guy from France play.
Right.
I have been told, here's what I want. I'm a Nuggets fan, huge Nuggets fan. You guys all know that. Because I've been a Nuggets fan for like 3 years, ever since Rudy and Shane and I would sit at the Chiefs games, and they liked the Nuggets. And I'm like, well, I need a team. So I have been told, and I don't think this is going to happen, Rudy tells me he's got his Nikolai Jokic shirt on today. Mm-hmm. There's a guy named Nikola Jovic.
Yes.
Who's from Serbia, who says that's who our Nuggets want. But right now I'm seeing him mocked right in front of him.
Oh.
We need a Jokic and a Jovic.
Yeah,
that wouldn't confuse anybody anyway if they're both Nikolais.
No, yeah, get our friend Mike Rice told us that Monday during the drill that they were. That's who a lot of people were aiming for in that situation.
I'm getting him mocked one ahead to the Spurs. We can't have that.
I saw a mock earlier that actually had Christian Brown going to the Nuggets in the first round.
Wow, that would be real high compared to what people thought. Or unless it's their second pick.
No, yeah.
They got the last pick,
they have
pick
a second
too.
Pick around 30th, don't they?
Yeah, they have the last pick. They have one at 20-something, and then they have
another. No, yeah. I'm talking about the one, the late one.
By the way, Jason Anderson reminds me, this is where I heard this Brown thing. I think it was on on Jason's show yesterday. The last 2 days, Brown has gone from plus 300 to minus 160 to go in the first round. Mm. It isn't the draft boards. It's the betters.
Moving up.
The betters are hearing stuff.
I still... perfectly willing to look like a massive idiot in a couple years. I really like Brown's skill set in the NBA, at least maybe immediately more than Agbaji. I just think that kid flows in the open court just so well.
You're an idiot.
Thank you.
No. I think he's made the right choice because you're seeing him moving up the draft boards.
Yeah.
He certainly made the right choice.
I don't know. All years as far as his shot, the thing he needs to work on one is shooting it more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be. I don't even know how much his shot needs to improve. He just needs to do it more. He seems. My frustration with him as a Kansas fan was don't be so scared of a guy closing out on you. Just put up the shot.
Right.
But I don't know. I like his game in the NBA and that's played as wide open as it is, more wide open now than it ever was. I really like that kid's game. To be, you know, I don't think either of them are destined for stardom, but I think Christian Brown could be a really valuable piece on an NBA team.
We will talk much more about the NBA draft with Matt Norlander from CBS coming up in our next segment. And the draft comes your way right here tonight at 6 o'clock for you. Other things you need to know.
Arch Madness.
Archie Manning's grandson. Cooper Manning's son. Peyton Manning's nephew. Eli Manning's nephew. The number one recruit in all of college football has committed himself to 1.5 years, 3 years of failure at the University of Texas. No, I'm kidding. He's committed to Texas with Steve Sarkisian, who is hoping to make a bowl game this year at Texas. I mean, that's
nice.
Goal number one. Go 500.
Yeah. Is Texas
maybe
back yet? Are they back?
They were back, but since they've been back, they've fired a coach and gone 500 in Big 12 play and lost to Kansas.
They've lost to Kansas twice since they've been back. The first Texas is back moment came, I think, in 16 when they beat Notre Dame on like Labor Day weekend. And later that year, they lost in Lawrence. They've lost
the second back came with Sam Ellinger after the Georgia.
Yeah,
and they've only lost to Kansas once since that second back.
But since
they lose each time they're back.
Since the first back, they've lost to Kansas twice.
And Kansas had like four coaches.
And having not lost to Kansas since before World War II.
it's great. The big news around here is 4-star running back Dylan Edwards is going to K-State, Derby, mm-hmm. Kansas, powerhouse in Kansas football. They are something down there just south of Wichita. Yeah. He committed today to go to K-State.
His father, Leon, early on in 92 to 94, he was running back.
Yeah, building up there. So this is a legacy kid. He's going to go to K-State. Undersized, okay, fine, whatever. Fast.
Yeah.
Super fast, because the best running back in the league right now is super undersized, and he plays at K-State too.
And he's kind of got that, you know, looks like he could power clean a Buick.
Yeah.
Cuz his size might be a benefit to him cuz he's so strong and his center of gravity is so low. He's really almost impossible to bring down.
Yeah. So that is good news there. Now, once again, these are not signed letters. These are commitments. You can't sign until early signing, which is in December. And then once you sign, you can transfer or do whatever you want to do, because I mean, that's the Texas right now has the last year's number one college football quarterback recruit, who was already at Ohio State, has already left, and now he's at Longhorns, and now Arch is coming. So, you know, whatever.
1,700 high school or college basketball players transferred during the past season. That's,
you want your mind blown even more?
It's about almost six per team. For school.
By the way, Ole Miss just beat Arkansas 2-0. What a performance. Held Arkansas to 4 hits. So Arkansas comes up short. So it's going to be Mississippi and Oklahoma starting Saturday night. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 810 in the College World Series up in Omaha. I was talking to a kid who played college baseball out at the CU in the Major Leagues Foundation mm-hmm. camp with the Royals out there with Dayton Moore the other day. 3,000 kids in the baseball portal now, because there's more players on a team and all, and they're not full scholarships. 3,000. How do you even navigate that as a coach,
know.
A player, a parent, whatever? It's great for the kids, I guess, but whew, wild, man, wild. So listen, all the best to these kids. I hope they stay at their schools for 4 years. I hope it's all happy and I hope it's all good.
But they probably won't.
Quinn Ewers, the kid who is at Texas now, went to Ohio State and was supposed to still be in high school. He just reclassified so he could get NIL money because Texas didn't have the money yet to do it. I mean, the Texas didn't have the law, and Ohio did, so they went and did it. It's just absolutely amazing. All right, one thing before we break, I want to tell you about a great big celebration we're going to have here in August. We're going to celebrate 100 years of WHB radio. This radio signal, this frequency, signed on in 2022. And on August 11th, 2022, we're going to have a great big party at the Midland Star-studded celebrity sports affair. It will be fun to be at. There will be tickets for the public that won't cost no money. How about that? There's not going to be the whole thing like that, but there's going to be plenty of tickets that we will give away over the next few months, the way we used to give away. If you think of the old Jim Rome tour stop we had, we got 50 tickets. They're going to be here. You can go pick them up. You can go find ways to win. We're going to have all that for you. This is going to be a great night with all kinds of people who used to work. I mean, there's 100 years of history, but this radio frequency used to work here. Familiar voices, faces, all that stuff. Familiar faces on the sports scene. Think of our professional sports teams and our college sports teams around here. They will be there. Celebrities, you know. We got some celebrities around Kansas City. We're going to have a lot of those folks there, too. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Midland. You'll be hearing our promos for it today, but I wanted to make people aware again that the epic 100-year celebration for WHB Radio is coming soon. August 11th in the Midlands. Stay tuned for your chance to win. Also, go to our website right now, 810whb.com. There may be like a foursome left for the golf tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun out at Fred Arbanis, right by my hometown, my house. Except I think I'm going to be at Chiefs camp that day. I really would like to just go to work in 30 seconds and then come back home. Go check it right now. There's an ad you just click. You can register right there, register your foursome. There may be like one left. This is going to be sold out by tomorrow. So if you're thinking about going to do that, go to our website right now. It's going to be a great night or a great day of golf out there. Gary Lezak is guaranteed good weather. He said if it's not good, he's quitting. He's just going to quit meteorology in December. He's going to wait till then. If he says it's not good, he's going to do it then. But check that out. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk NBA draft with Matt Norlander of CBS. Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo, in for Sarin Petro. NBA draft comes your way tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And to talk about it, we got Matt Norlander from CBS Sports. Good evening. What a day. Is this the big day, right? You love this day. Is this the day you're all look forward to? Is this, where does this rank as far as in the NBA calendar goes, Matt?
Well, I'm primarily a college hoops guy, so this day is like the 27th most important day.
There you go.
Like, I would take like a big hyped up Saturday in January over this. But it is an exciting night, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the draft shakes out. And yeah, it's always cool to see a lot of these college players who either are one and done or Ochai Agbaji, 4-year player, right? And getting to see their dreams realized and different paths for everyone. Not everyone runs the exact same race, and so I'm pretty intrigued to see how things shake out beyond just like the top 3 to 5 picks. I actually started to get intrigued about what guys might pop up and wind up going 15, 20, 25, and stuff like that.
And that's where we're going to probably be watching around here. I mean, it looks like Agbaji is going to be in that range, maybe a little bit higher. Christian Brown has moved up. He won't be in that range, but looking like a first-round pick. Let's talk about the Kansas kids. You mentioned Agbaji. He was probably an under-recruited guy who was redshirting but had to get out of, you know, his red shirt because of circumstances at Kansas. He tested the waters last year, came back. It looks like it's all worked out perfect. He got a ring. He cut the nets down, and he's probably going to be a lottery pick. This isn't the roadmap for everyone, but this has been pretty good for him, hasn't it?
It's been really good. I'd say his range is 12 to 20. I would go higher on 12. I recently did a big board mock draft for CBS Sports. I actually have Ochai Agbaji as the number 8 player in this entire class. I think he – I'm not an ageist. Now, NBA front offices will put more of a premium on guys who have proven to be certainly players with skill and potential and production at the age of 18, 19 years old. Because if you're that good, think about how good you could be by 22. Whereas with Agbaji, we've seen what he is at 22, and he's going to pay off. He's going to get picked rightfully so easily into the first round. It's just a matter of fit if teams trade out of those spots. But I love stories like his. There won't be many guys like him tonight. In fact, really, he's got a chance of being the only 4-year player from one school that gets taken in the first round. That used to be, you know, this isn't a new thing, trend that's gotten debunked. I mean, this was the regular thing in the 70s, 80s, and through much of the 90s, but this has been the way of it for most of the past 10 to 12 years. Couple past drafts, we've actually had a higher number of 4-year college players that wound up getting picked this year. We're a little thinner on it, but Agbaji is the exception. And depending on where teams trade is where he'll go. I think he is a player that doesn't – it's not fit. It does not matter where he goes. He will be a great teammate, a step-in, really nice role player, has the shot, can defend, and I think that he will easily enjoy an NBA career that exceeds 10 seasons.
Matt Norlander from CBS is our guest, and the NBA draft is tonight right here on Sports Radio 810. Christian Brown, I think – maybe like last year, a couple of years ago, a lot of people were like, I don't know. Does this look like an NBA player? And he's really worked on his body. He's worked on his game. And it looks like he's going to have made the right decision. Generally, they have him, most people have him in the first round at the end, which is a big deal, right? You want to be in the first round. You get a couple of years of guaranteed money. What do you think about Christian Brown's game and how it fits into the NBA?
I'm a little more skeptical of Brown. I think his range is 25 to 40 and how his game fits at the next level. He's certainly capable. I mean, you know, once you get into this conversation of being a first-round NBA pick, you have the skills to utilize it. As, you know, people at that next level, scouts and front office people that I'll talk to will, you know, quickly remind, a lot of this time, when guys don't hit, like anyone that's taken with a first-round pick, 90% of the time, they are skilled and capable enough to last at least 2 contracts in the NBA. But it's a matter of, well, do you wind up getting drafted to a franchise where you have a good philosophical fit with the coaching staff, with a roster? Sometimes that can hold you back. You have guys that might be awesome on 3 or 4 different franchises, but on another 10 to 20 of them, they might not be good fits and wouldn't even stick in the league. Christian Brown, I think, is a player that it would apply to that kind of thing. It will matter on where he goes. Certainly has really, really nice upside, wonderful athlete. Can defend, love his capability to anticipate on the defensive side. So he will have a very good chance at sticking. But in my opinion, Agbaji is so much better suited and more adaptable to, you know, it's not just a team dependent. I'm not trying to say that Christian Brown isn't going to make it. He very well could, but it is undeniable when you look back at every single draft, every single one, and go from 25 to the end of every draft, a lot of those guys don't reach second contracts. You do have exceptions. Occasionally there will be a guy that's taken 27th or 32nd or 37th, and not only do they make it in the league, they turn into, you know, 7, 8, 10-year starters. Brown could easily do that as well. I'll be interested to see where he goes. He is a wonderful draft night story because he was not projected as a draft pick a year ago, and now he has worked himself into a viable first-round stock. And if he's not there, I personally would be surprised if he fell below, say, 34 or 35.
One of the dynamics that happens in the weeks leading up to the NBA draft, and same as with the NFL draft, is the idea of this person is or player is climbing the draft boards or is sliding down the draft boards, and it always comes weeks or months after anything's actually happened. Is it less a changing of the opinion of the players than it is, or by the teams, and more a change in the accuracy of the info that people are getting that make these draft boards based on what they're hearing, if that makes sense?
I don't know if we'll ever get an answer to that question, because there are definitely people at the NBA level who have told me, and I mean, I have no reason not to believe them. They could be lying, I guess, but they say that we never look at a mock draft ever. But at the same time, I do feel like the tail might wag the dog on some of these things. And so this notion that guys might rise or fall, and is that reflected in the mock drafts? At the end of the day, as a general manager of a team that's picking 16th, 18th, 20th, why don't we ever see a guy that's projected easily, safely into the second round get drafted 17th? Is the intel on the mock drafts that good? Because the reality is, yes, some, you know, there are media members that have really good relationships with people, but a lot of the times this information and intelligence is shared, it's done so in an off-record manner there. I actually think that front offices will try and gauge fan reaction and gauge mock drafts, and seldom will you see a GM actually have the guts to take someone, again, 5-6 spots after the lottery that's clearly projected as a second-round talent, because all these draft boards are different. I mean, if you had the capability to look into any given franchise's front office, you know, war room, whatever you want to call it tonight, and then look at three other ones, and you look at all of their big boards, There would be similarities around the top 10 or 12. Once you got to like 15, I think the average person would be startled to realize a guy that's 16th on this team's board might be 47th on another team's board. I think there's a lot of change in that. And the reason why guys might rise or fall is, you know, the combine, teams interviewing players, workouts, whether or not these things are overvalued or not is really in the eye of the beholder. But even though a game hasn't been played, it's undeniable that guys' stock, it does get affected. It gets impacted, sometimes by who's representing them, sometimes by what they do or don't do at the combine, sometimes what they get in background checks, sometimes how they perform in interviews. There's all sorts of facets and factors that go in. And normally that's the case because, with some exceptions, there are about 15 to 20 undeniably talented guys in a given draft who are going to overcome a lot of that stuff. They might slide two or three spots one way or the other, but everyone else might be subject to more scrutiny and analysis. Because, and last thing on this, I know I'm being long-winded, but it is a fascinating topic, and I've long wondered about it. There's also the reality that in a given season, yes, you have all these scouts that go to these college games, and they look at the guys that go to practice, they scout, they report back. But the lead one or two decision-makers in a front office, they don't really start looking into a draft until you get to about the end of March, early April, when a team's season, you know, you've gotten past the trade deadline, you're not going to make the playoffs if you're a bad team, and then you really start to look, and then those voices have more influence, obviously, than the 5, 7, 10 people that have been scouting for years and years, and so that's another reason why you will see movement, you know, annually in the lead-up to the draft.
We're talking to Matt Norlander. He covers basketball, college basketball, for the CBS Sports, and the NBA draft is tonight. Matt, is there someone out there who you've seen in the mock drafts, accurate or not, who you would be like, nah, I don't want that guy. I don't think that guy's got the game to translate to the NBA.
Well, it's not necessarily that I don't think he has the game to translate to the NBA, but I specifically, when I did my big board mock draft, I tried to intentionally not put a couple of players in the top 30 that are kind of seen as, you know, universally seen as top 20 talents, because, again, it will be inevitable. There will be players taken tonight in the first round who will wind up being nowhere close in terms of NBA productivity and longevity as guys that get taken later in the first round, in the second round. So anyway, it's not that I don't think this player has a chance to succeed. I think he can. But if I'm taking a chance on one guy that's kind of universally seen as a top 20 talent, I would sell on Malachi Branham at Ohio State. I actually love his teammate, E.J. Liddell. I think E.J. Liddell will prove to be a top 12 player in this class. Branham did really well for himself. He has really nice length, good athleticism, shot well. He was actually put into a role that he wasn't expected to be in when Ohio State had some injury issues and they had a player named Justice Suing who barely played at all. It increased Branham's role, and it got to a point where it was undeniable that he kind of had to go. I can't help but wonder, some of this is my belief and some of this is talking to a few other people, if Branham would have actually returned to Ohio State, crafted his game a bit more, turn himself into a top 10 pick next year, if that might not have helped him. Maybe this route will be wind up being what's good for him. But as people will tell you, sometimes the guys that go after a one-and-done season, some are built for that immediate jump to the NBA. Some it takes years, if ever at all, that they can actually adapt and get into it. So that is one player in particular who I'm lower on than some. I'm also lower on – now, this guy's going to be a top 5 pick tonight, Keegan Murray of Iowa. I think he can be good. But again, as you watch this draft unfold and if you've looked at mock drafts, keep in mind there has never been a draft ever where the top five guys taken in a draft were the five best players in that class. It never happens. There will be guys taken higher that when we look back at 10 years from now, you'll say, well, he went fourth. He's
not even why?
A top five class.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the natural order of things. So, it's not just because they're Big Ten players. That's got nothing to do with that. I'm just picking two out of a hat here that I tend to be a little bit lower on than others. And again, E.J. Liddell, same conference. I don't know if anyone is as high on E.J. Liddell in this draft as I am, and I think he'll wind up being a guy that sticks around for three contracts in the NBA.
All right, Matt Norlander is our guest. Time for our final four. Very quick answers here to four quick questions brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You got a sleeper tonight. Who do you love who maybe people are sleeping on?
Oh, yes, Andrew Nembhard, although his stock has apparently gone skyrocketing in the past like 2 weeks, but I've maintained for a long time Andrew Nembhard out of Gonzaga should have been a first-round pick. He might wind up going first round tonight. I think he'll wind up being a top three-point guard in this draft.
Looking back over your years covering basketball, is there someone who you thought going into a draft was going to be great and no one else did and they turned out to be great? You got like an all-time sleeper who you were high on that you can remember?
That's a good question. No one is springing to mind right now. I so appreciate the question. I'm trying to think of who would apply where I thought they'd be awesome. A lot of people are selling, and they turned out to be awesome. I have to pass because no one is immediately springing to mind.
No
although
problem.
I was big on Grant Williams, but I wasn't the only one, and he's turned out to be pretty good.
All right, number three here. Kansas just won the NCAA tournament last year. Who's your early favorite this year in college hoops?
Oh, my goodness. I will go North Carolina right now, but I very much reserve the right to change that pick.
Of course. It's just June.
They just got another transfer. But I would say Carolina right now, and I'll be quick on this. I do love the fact that heading into next season, there will be about five teams that have a viable claim to be the number one preseason team in the country, and that's great for college hoops.
Absolutely great. And finally, you also host a podcast, Records and Riffs, correct? So I want you
to give
me a newish band who maybe I don't listen to who I should.
A newish band. How about a new artist?
Sure, yeah.
She's not crazy new. She got big in the past 4 or 5 years. But I'm going to give a shout to an artist named Maggie Rogers. And she is like alternative pop, really talented, young, inspiring songwriter. She actually got her big break on a video that went viral when she played like a song she had written for Pharrell, and Pharrell was like, I have no notes, this is incredible. I've been listening to more Maggie Rogers as of late. The kids, as they say,
the kids.
I think know about her plenty, but she seems to be someone that might have in my opinion, she is a top five sleeper material
there
for
we go.
Career in music. So there we go.
She's rising up the draft board. Thanks, Matt. Enjoy the night tonight, and we'll watch all your work online, okay?
Take it easy, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Matt Norlander from CBS Sports helping us break down the NBA draft. Maggie Rogers. We got two names now, Zach Bryan and Maggie Rogers. Passon gave us Zach Bryan to listen to, and we got Maggie Rogers. Sounded like two different things. So on the way home tonight, I'm going to listen to both, okay? We'll report back tomorrow, see how our guests did on music, because we're always looking for new stuff, right? That's what it's all about, right, Curtis?
I think so, yeah. I try to get... You know, it's easy for people to say, new music, it isn't like it used to be. No, it's like it used to be. I mean, you don't often hear it in the same type of styles of music. But, man, there are – every time you turn around, there's three or four guys pop up that are great songwriters.
Well, and the deal is
great
now
– musicians add something different.
You can listen to all of it now.
Yes.
Because it's all just at your fingertips.
A lot of it blends –
and back in the day, you had to actually go pay for it somewhere.
And also, a lot of it kind of blends over. You hear bands and artists, you're like, I'm not really sure what this is, but I dig it.
There we go.
It's all about melody,
Maggie Rogers. Write it down. Listen, we have an intro coming up for the next segment. For the kicker, but if you were really good at this, you'd be playing some Maggie Rogers coming back, Adam. I'm only going to play
Rush
Coheed and
back.
Cambria. That's what I'm going to do.
I've played Coheed once today, and because that's all that's in the system. Is there one song?
You got to put more songs in the system.
Believe
Have
me.
Have they taught you how to put songs in the system?
Oh, no, not yet.
Make this yours, man.
I've got to add some Coheed, and I told Curtis yesterday I'm going to have a fun thing coming up. We're going to have Ska Fridays where bump music's going to be Ska.
Ska Fridays, and Petro's head will explode. What is this? I don't even know what this is. What is going on? That's Matt Norlander covering basketball there. Good information there. He's not as high. You're so high right now, Christian Brown. Matt Norlander said you're wrong.
It didn't even take me 2 years to look like an idiot. It took me 15, not even 15 minutes.
Just get the guest on. Get the expert on. But you know what? He can be wrong, too. The draft is coming up. Your way tonight, and listen, this is a great night for these guys, and I am super excited. We got two local kids. When I say local, they went to Kansas, but they're also Kansas City kids who are going to get their names called tonight. That is absolutely outstanding.
I did PA for an All-Star, MoCan All-Star game 4 years ago. Still got the pictures on my phone. Well, the first time I saw Ochai Agbaji play, and I thought, wow, he's quite athletic. We knew he was going to Kansas.
Why is he not a four-star recruit?
I'll be damned. And it's kind of cool that kid that I saw just throw down in that gym out in that a rec center out in Independence off Nolan Road 4 years ago. This might be a top 10. Or a very good chance of being a lottery pick. His career arc has been fascinating. And Christian Brown's is almost as fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, his rise and that two local kids are going to be...
What a few months for them. Cut the nets down and get your name called.
Not bad.
Pretty nice, pretty nice. But that'll be coming your way at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll have the NBA draft right here for you on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
But first, the good sense, end of the hour answer. When was the last time freshmen went 1, 2, 3 in the NBA draft? Didn't go back as far as
you didn't
you
get
might think.
Question. Could I take Blair a shot just answered
Blair
it.
Blair just goes boom, and I'm like, thanks, man.
I did not hear Blair. Was it 14?
No. Okay. Someone else guessed that it was 14, which was 14.
I just can't remember who went second. I thought it was a kid from Duke who was a freshman.
Someone threw that at me. Was it in a text? It was not 2014. Wiggins, Parker, and Embiid.
Yeah.
It was not. It was actually 2017.
All three of whom had disappointing tournaments that year.
True story. It was actually 2017. And now I flip pages around.
You know exactly who the draft was in 2017. Go, Adam.
I do not actually know who the draft was.
Go. 17. Yes?
It was 2017. It was... Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, there you go. How about that?
Pretty clear who the first pick should have been.
Well, that's what Matt Norlander told us. The top five picks, the best five players won't be the top five picks.
Yeah. He noted he thought Keegan Murray was a definite top five, which would
mean... I see like five and six different places, right?
I mean, everyone agrees it's going to be Smith, Holmgren, Banchero, if not in that order, certainly in one of those three orders. But Jaden Ivey, I think, is just about as good a lock for four as the other three are for their top three positions.
Stay tuned right here to Sports Radio 810 tonight.
I think the draft,
6 o'clock, we'll have it for you.
Yeah, I think the any surprises in the draft, I think, won't hit till five.
Yeah, and there'll be some trades.
A handful of guys who could be five. I think
it's a wild night, man. It's just wild. Someone drafts you, and you may be there for 4 seconds.
Yep.
I don't know.
I told Curtis, if you'll humor me, I will tell you now the story, my favorite draft story ever. It was how the Magic came to acquire Penny Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
So this part a lot of people know, but the part that I love that a lot of people don't know. So They get they knew the Warriors were drafting third and were wanting a big man, so the Magic took Chris Webber.
Right.
Sean Bradley went to Philly, and then they had the Warriors draft Penny Hardaway because they didn't want to have Webber play next to the Shaq. And so they have Hardaway go to Golden State. In return, they give up Chris Webber. In return, they get Penny Hardaway and three future first-round picks. And that night, the assistant GM goes charging into the GM's office in the Magic front offices and go, "How on earth did you get three first-round picks?" And he just goes, "I asked for six."
Yeah, just play the game, man. Wild stuff. All right, before we get out of here, I'm going to play a couple of sound bites here for you from the It Needed to Be Said podcast.
It did
so
need to be
this
said.
Caused a stir a few weeks ago, obviously, when these little snippets of conversation that were released by It Needed to Be Said, which is Tyreek Hill's podcast with his friend and lawyer, Julius Collins. So they released these snippets, and they couldn't believe all the firestorm that happened from them. So I'm going to play a soundbite from you. This is Tyreek Hill and Julius Collins scolding the media for jumping to conclusions about what they did.
It went crazy, right?
A lot has happened.
It went crazy.
It went crazy.
You ran track. I even tweeted, this is what we would call a false start.
False start?
When you see the snippets and the media went insane, they automatically jumped to a conclusion.
Right.
You didn't even answer.
Right.
I just asked a simple question, right?
Right.
A simple question of, boom, boom, boom. We ain't even going to repeat it because we know they're going to go crazy again, right, about the stats. They went absolutely insane when it was solely a question that they didn't even get the answer to.
Right, and that's the snippet. And to me, like, that's just another situation where my mom always told me, you never judge a book by its cover, you know? And the whole thing ain't even out yet.
Right.
You know, so you just be patient, man. I just feel like a lot of people just overreacted for no reason. Like, they saw what you said, and they really didn't see what I said, you know?
Right.
So
right.
A lot of people are just acting off emotion.
But that's a problem, you know, that the media and the journalists have to deal with, right? A lot of them they've gotten to the point where they don't care about reporting the truth.
I think some of that is true. I think people do jump to conclusions quickly and all that stuff. But
perhaps they had purchased one of the jump to conclusion mats.
They could have. You can make the whole thing.
I remember the character.
Whichever the guy was in the office space. So
office space.
So Julius Collins asked a leading and provocative question that they released in a snippet. They took an hour-long podcast, edited together a couple of things. This wasn't a consecutive part of the podcast. They edited a couple of things together and released it. And they let it sit there for 9 days. I think it was a Wednesday to a Friday, 9 or 10 days. Because it was a Wednesday, it was out for 24 hours, and that's when I asked. When I asked Andy Reid, you go back and listen to the question. I didn't say Tyreek Hill said anything. I said a teaser has been released for a podcast where it's intimated these things. And I didn't say he said it or anything. And I said, yep. I don't know what's going to happen for this. That's the whole shock jock thing, whatever. That's how I asked the question. They're not talking about me in this. They're talking about Stephen A. Smith. They're talking about Shannon Sharpe. That's what they're talking about, that people jump to conclusions. About the very small snippet of things that you intentionally put out to get people's panties, quote, in a wad. All right? So what I did was I just made a little snippet. I'm taking things slightly out of context, not really out of context, but slightly out of context. So I'm going to play a soundbite for you with Tyreek Hill talking, and then I'm going to play a longer soundbite. Here's the shorter soundbite.
When I signed my deal with the Dolphins, you know, Coach McDaniels and the owner, Mr. Ross, they really changed my family life. Now we really living different. Like, I know a lot of people say, he's selfish. Nah, bro. At the end of the day, I gotta look out for what's best for me.
The Dolphins changed my life. Coach McDaniels or McDaniel, either one. Mr. Ross, not the Clarks.
No.
They changed my life. People say it's selfish, but I've got to look out for me, which is what selfish means. So he sounds kind of like whatever there. I mean, I didn't make him look real bad. I could make him look real bad. You can edit all the little words together. But I just took a little, because I didn't listen to this whole thing. It's a new segment they called Get It Off My Chest, which is from It Needed to Be Said, the complaining about the media. So here is the longer chunk of this that I think it sounds a little more human.
At the end of the day, dog, I got to take care of my family, man.
Right.
You know, because they are the ones who supported me. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who comfort me whenever I'm going through whatever I'm going through in life. You know, so shout out to grandparents, mom, dad, everybody, man. So that's why I do this game, and that's why I love this game, dog. And when I signed my deal with the Dolphins, you know, Coach McDaniels and the owner, Mr. Ross, they really changed my family life. I signed one with the Chiefs, you know, for $18 million a year. But when I came to the Dolphins, that's like a whole new level mm-hmm. of like stardom, you know. So that really changed my family's life, man. So now we really living different, you know. So man, I'm very committed to this Dolphins team, man. To the day I die, and I'm gonna give every ounce, and like I'm here to win a championship, bro. So that's the only thing that I really got to get off my chest, bro. Like I do this for my family, bro. Like right. Like I know a lot of people say, he's selfish. Nah, bro. At the end of the day, I gotta look out for what's best for me,
right?
My kids, my parents, my grandparents, mm-hmm. my girl, like all of that, man. Right. Like it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough leaving a situation like we had in Kansas City. It's tough, bro.
He says it's tough to leave Kansas City. Mentions all of his family, all of those things. But yeah. If you just take the little part out that says, I got to do what's best for me, and don't continue the part where he says, my family, my kids, mm-hmm. my da-da-da, all that stuff, it sounds different because it's a little bit out of context.
Yes.
So I will not stand here. I will speak for all of the media. I will not stand here and be upset with the way anyone wanted to react by what this group of people decided to release on a podcast to intentionally be provocative.
He admitted. That's the part that gets me. He admitted. Yes. I loved the reaction I got. I got everybody's panties
in a bunch.
Because he wants
attention.
He wanted that. And now he's complaining. After it all came out, he said, this is exactly what I wanted. Now he's pissing and moaning about it.
I said at the time we ran the first clip, before he said that the reaction was what he wanted, that if we had done something like that and portrayed it, someone would have been rightly upset with us for editing it in a way that made him sound like he was saying something he wasn't, that he hadn't actually said.
Which is exactly why
they did it themselves.
20 plus years, when we've played sound bites on this radio station, especially with any show I've ever heard a part of, I always want to play more than less.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be told we took something out of context or whatever. What happened the other day with Dayton Moore and Cal Eldred, you know, if you take 5 words he said about Cal Eldred, it sounds ridiculous. But if you play a minute and a half what he said, okay, no one likes Cal Eldred, whatever. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there's more to it than just that. These guys took themselves out of context and stuck it out on the internet, on Twitter, with social media, to intentionally get people provocative, upset, whatever.
But mostly to get them to listen.
To get them to listen and do the stuff. Now, he says, and I don't doubt him, Tyreek Hill says he got some death threats through DMs and things like that. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
You shouldn't do that. Now, were they valid threats? Probably not. Probably someone just says, I ought to kill you for this or whatever. I don't know. But the point is, that's not justified to do that. But they intentionally put out a misleading thing. Now, if you listen to the whole thing, the first thing with Drew Rosenhaus, there's plenty in there said by Tyreek Hill that's provocative enough, okay? But the way they edited it and put it out there, anyone can do that if they want to. And you can make someone sound ridiculous if that's what you want to do. I think they made themselves sound ridiculous.
Yes. I can't think of anybody.
Tyreek Hill's a nice enough guy. This Julius Campbell's a smart guy. He's got a law degree and all that stuff. But I don't need to take journalism lessons from Julius Collins.
No.
I'll say that right now.
Yep.
Okay? I'm not going to try to get him out of a ticket either because I'm not a lawyer. Whatever. NBA draft is coming up next. Petro will be back on Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. Adam, thank you very much. Curtis, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday night.